This is the Higher Ed Tech Podcast, Season 2, Episode 19, Building a Local Conference and Year in Review.
Welcome to today's Higher Ed Tech Podcast. I am Tim Van Norman, the Instructional Technologist here at Irvine Valley College.
And I'm Brent Warner, professor of ESL here at IVC. We both enjoy integrating technology into the classroom, which is what this show is all about.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us. So, summer. Brent, are you got any plans for the summer, or are you just working the whole summer?
I've got a couple little trips planned. We're trying to kind of break out of our COVID thing and did so to go a couple of places. One of the things I'm not totally sure about this. I'm not totally sure if I'm confident in doing this one yet, but we are going to Vegas maybe for a couple days. And then I'm definitely going to Washington at the end of summer for a family thing. I'm not sure. Most of the time I'm working. So maybe a couple of experiences outdoors. How about you?
Working and, you know, I'll see how these long weekends, we get 3-day weekends this summer. We'll see how that works out. But
that's right.
I'll be working.
Yeah. So we are here on the last episode of season two. That's pretty exciting. We'll talk a little bit about that in the second half, when we talk about the year in review. I don't know. What kind of year has it been? Has it been a good year?
In a lot of ways it has. I think a lot of people have learned a lot.
Yeah.
I hope everybody has, but I wouldn't go to everybody. I would say a lot of people have learned a lot.
I've learned a lot. Yeah.
Yes. I think I've learned a lot. We'll see in, you know, 6 months or a year if anything's stuck, but it's been a good year in a lot of ways, and it's been a struggle for almost everybody.
I think so. That's very fair. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about an upcoming event and kind of it's not only for us, but it's for everybody. But let's jump over to our first segment. All right. So, Tim, we are doing a conference on campus here at Irvine Valley College. Not on campus. It's a virtual conference, right? This kind of came out of your work that you were trying to do before we kind of got sent home, right, a year ago, together with Cheryl Bailey, who we've had on previous episodes, and she's co-chair of the Online Education Task Force, and with me, the other co-chair of the Online Education Task Force. And so what we decided to do was to put on a conference that is kind of a tech and pedagogy related conference for our faculty. And I'm pretty excited about it because we've got a lot of teachers from totally different fields on campus coming and presenting and talking about how they're engaging with their students through online technologies and also tools that they're using in order to be more successful with their teaching. Right. You are also presenting some tools. I'm presenting some tools. And then there's just a bunch of different people, like I said, from a wide variety. And then we've also got some of our vendors. And this is what I'm really, I like this part of it, which is that we've got vendors. But they're vendors that are not trying to sell anything. They're vendors that we already work with. And so it's just a chance for them to get in front of faculty and share how their tools work or maybe answer questions for faculty members. But like no sales pitch, right? It's just we're here to support you because we already use their tools.
And that was a year ago when we were looking at doing that. That was our goal, is not to have any faculty member walk in and feel like they were sold, that somebody was trying to sell them. This was about how do we engage? How do we learn who the vendors are? What can the different products do? And then the other tracks that you were talking about. This is working out to be a really nice conference. And the nice part is, we're able to basically do it for free as far as the attendees is concerned. So we're not making it, you know, be a week long conference or anything like that, but this is a quality conference in a, over the course of one day. And so as we were looking at this, since we worked on it last year, worked on it this year, we're putting everything together, finalizing it. We thought it'd be really nice to have an episode on how do you do something like this?
Yeah.
Because you've presented at a bunch of different conferences. I've presented and I've been at others. There's a lot that goes in behind the scenes, but there's also, it's completely manageable. If you sit down and you break it down and you just work with different components, you could do a conference yourself in your school, in your department or something like that, because you can make it as big or as small as you really want to make it.
Yeah. And I think I want to reiterate that, because that's the part that I hope people walk away with, where they can go, oh, I could just do like a super simple, like, you know, a PD thing for myself. Now the technology's here and it supports that. Right. Or I can build it out. Like I've got, you know, we've got 25 people in our department and we can do something for those people only, or we've got, you know, 2000 people in our school and we can do it for all of them too. Right. There's a total flexibility in ways of doing these types of things, which is pretty excellent. And I hope that people start recognizing, you know, not that there's anything wrong with PD organizations. I'm part of many and they offer a lot of really cool things, but like, I really love getting learning from the people that are my colleagues, and there's such a wealth of great knowledge. And so I hope we're encouraging people who are listening, not only IVC people, but people who are in other schools to go, oh, wait a second, maybe we can offer something like that for our teachers, for our crew, right? And I hope that maybe a couple ideas in here resonate with that.
And remember, as we're talking about this, in today's online environment, you only have to pay for the tools, and many of the tools might already be paid for. Mm-hmm. So you could possibly do this for free. Even for the people who are putting it together, it's a time commitment. It's a big time commitment, but it doesn't have to cost out of pocket as well.
Right.
It can, you know, you can do that depending on what you want to do, but you could, there's be creative and you can do a lot.
That's right. Yeah. I'll say, you know, as you know, I'm part of several different organizations, and like, we've been able in those other organizations to really drop the price of coming to the PD sessions, and then also still make more money than we were making before, because all of those things like renting the space and getting caterers and, you know, all of those things that cost and cost and cost, all of that stuff is wiped out, and now it's just the experience. Now you're definitely missing out on the personal touch and, like, you know, the thing of being in person with a lot of people. But we can talk about a few of those points as well. Tim, let's jump into some of these ideas here, and just share a bit about how we're building this.
So first of all, I think we want to talk about whatever you do, you kind of want to have a main theme or main topic, main goal for what is this conference about. If you don't have that, you'll build a mess, Frank. If you don't have something in mind, and so whether it be technology, whether it be anti-technology, whether it be whatever it is, you need to have something that puts the whole thing together in people's minds, or either they won't attend or they'll be expecting the wrong thing out of your conference.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's basically, to me, start there as a foundation, and then you can build from that point.
Right. So yeah. You know, in our case, we've got the online education thing going on, right? So whether that's in person or whether that's online, you're still using online tools. And so that fits into our purposes. And then also the technology, of course. So if we're just talking about tools, not necessarily pedagogy, but like, here's how you use this tool to apply to your pedagogy, that fits as well. So I think that for us, that theme fits overall really well. I've seen other themes that are things like, you know, humanizing your courses, or getting into social emotional learning with your teaching, or there's all sorts of different possible topics for conferences. And so I like that idea of having a main theme or a main topic, and then subtopics that fit underneath that.
And then for us, you guys created a third track as well, and we mentioned it a little bit earlier, and that is you invited the vendors that we have to come in and present as well. Mm-hmm. Nice for them. They don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
They show up in an online environment. They can then talk to whoever decides to show up for them. And they get basically right in front of as many people as will be there. It's a great opportunity for them and low stakes. They don't have to pay for flights. They don't have to pay for anything really to show up for an hour or two.
That's
so
right.
That's a really nice thing for vendors. This can also be a possible aside. You could have potential vendors as well. You could have people coming in and, hey, for our faculty, we could be asking, what do you think? Which of these tools would you be interested in? And we could have done a track just on potential tools.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And last year we had several vendors begging to come and do that. So it's something that can work out in the future. That's one of the things as you think about it. Where do you want to go? What is your topic and how are you going to work with that? So,
right. Yeah. So the next thing is like finding presenters, right? I think that depending on what's going on in your campus, this could, and how well connected you are, this could be really easy or this could be a challenge. For us, we had a few of us that were out there like putting out the feelers and looking for recommendations, and we'd seen other professors doing cool things. So we were fairly easy to reach out and figure out like some of the people who are maybe would fit in. But there were still some, we still had some empty slots, and we said, well, who else do we look for? So like, in one of those cases, I reached out to you and I said, hey, do you know someone in this department? And you said, oh yeah, talk to this guy. Right. Or, we also reached out to, you could reach out to your deans, for example, and say, hey, do you, what if your faculty members are getting high praises, but maybe they don't get enough recognition? Maybe that's a good person to come and bring in, right? It was great to kind of look out and have that opportunity to hear from and kind of understand what different faculty on campus are doing and use them as presenters, right? Because that also shows, hopefully, that we're trying to respect everybody's different fields, everybody's different approaches, and really get a wide variety of possibilities going on.
It's also a great way to engage the rest of your campus. Mm-hmm. Because people like to hear people like them, but also people like to hear people that aren't. So if you don't have anybody from a particular department, go ahead and try to pull them in as a presenter, pull somebody in as a presenter that is involved in that department. And that can actually expand the people who are willing to and interested in coming. Yeah. And frankly, when you're doing this for free, they might only show up for one or two sessions, but they might show up for more than that if they see somebody else that they know.
That's right.
So it's a great way to expand your people, the people who are there.
Yeah. So let's talk for a minute about timing. Now, obviously, there's lots of different ways to set up your timing. We went for a somewhat complicated timing structure. once people understand it, it's fairly easy. But I actually took this timing structure from Q Bold. So Q is the Computer Using Educators organization I'm part of, and they do a session called Bold, which is it's a great PD session. But basically, what they do, and this is the same one we modeled, was you do a 30-minute presentation, and then you plan for 30 minutes of open hangout time if people want to talk to you, ask questions, try things out. So basically, it's 30 minutes of presentation, 30 minutes open time. But then during that second 30 minutes, this next overlapping session starts. So you could theoretically, let's say in a 4-hour time slot, you could go to 8 sessions or mm-hmm. you could go 8 sessions quick, grab it and go to the next one, or you could go to 4 sessions and dig deep into those topics. And so you can kind of choose where you want to go or how you want to spend that time. And that's a really, I like that system because, you know, if someone catches what your attention on what you're saying, you're like, oh yeah, I really want to spend more time. I want to ask them about that. I want to figure out how to do it. And that presenter is there to be able to talk to you, because a lot of times at a conference or, you know, any of these things, it's like you try and talk to that presenter at the end, but then you're going to miss your next presentation, or maybe they're mm-hmm. running out the door to do something else, right? And so I like that there's time built into this to be able to let you choose. And then at the same time, there's 3 different tracks. So Tim, when your presentation ends, when your 30-minute presentation ends, then they'll still have 2 other tracks of just starting sessions to go choose from. And I like how that gives the conference attendees a lot of choices.
And it, as a presenter, it's kind of nice to know you're presenting for 30 minutes and then you've got a 30 minutes of Q&A. Mm-hmm. Almost every time I've presented, you have to figure out, okay, so how much Q&A am I going to do? Right. This way, it's built in, it's locked in, and you know. And that, I think, is going to be really useful. I'm looking forward to presenting the first time this way, but I think this will be really nice from that presentation standpoint.
Yeah, I agree. Of course, there's more standard ways of doing timing, so don't take that as a lock on what it needs to be. But, you know, you could just do 1 session right after the other. You could do panel presentations. There's all sorts of different ways to do things. But, you know, it's good to experiment with things as well.
Well, and technically, what you could do is literally open up, for instance, we're moving on to the next step a little bit. You could open up Zoom at the beginning of the day and just have different people present in 1 Zoom session the whole time.
Oh, that's true.
And I mean, you could do something that simple, but there's a lot of different ways of thinking about it and working with it.
Yeah. Speaking of Zoom, we are not using Zoom this time around. We're using Nooks, which I've mentioned briefly on the show before. But mm-hmm. it's another platform. It's built into the browser, but this one is cool because it does let you kind of move around freely to where you want to go to. You don't have to like wait for someone, or there's no kind of tricks or like hidden anything. You just go, oh, that's a room I want to go into. You click on it, you enter that room. So so Nooks is kind of our primary platform for this time around, which is it's going to be fun. It's going to be an experiment and let people see something different. And I like that too, during a tech conference, an online tech conference, is like, hey, you know, there's other things out there, and you can actually, part of this experience is the learning experience of using this different type of platform and seeing how that might work for you.
Right. And to that point, you could easily do the same, do similar things. Each tool is a little different, but you could use Google Meet. Mm-hmm. You could use Zoom. You could use whatever tools that you've got at your disposal to do this. And frankly, you could even do this if you were on site. You could do this in a building and just move people around. So there's a lot of different things that you can work with to make this work the way you want to work. And also depending on your level of risk, as well as your level of comfort with the different technologies. Yeah. So think about that. If you're doing a untechnology conference, maybe you don't want to use these online tools. That said, maybe you do want to use the online tools as well as face-to-face. You know, so don't get tied down to a tool, a specific tool as you're planning, but think about it, and build around whatever that functionality can be as well.
That's right. Yeah. Work with what you have, make it work, and there'll be some good options there for you.
Yep. So Brent, you've been involved in this one. What have you learned so far? Granted, we haven't had that conference yet, but what are the lessons that you've learned so far?
I think the biggest one is, you know, trying to give yourself the right amount of time in setting it up. You kind of need to plan it out far enough in advance That you can build everything. But you don't want to announce it so early that, you know, people aren't ready to commit to it, or too late that it's too late for them to come. Right. And so I think that planning process and recognizing how much time it actually takes to get all of these things organized, right? Like, we might talk about it here in, you know, 20 minutes or something like that, but it really does take, like, well, what am I looking for? Who am I going to find? Who, you know, how are we going to reach out to these people? And then people don't necessarily get back to you immediately when you ask and reach out to them for help. And so you want to plan these things out fairly well in advance. I've seen people be able to pull things off on short amount of time, but I would say if I were being a little bit more, you know, I think Cheryl Bailey, who's also doing this together with us, you know, I think she would agree with us or with me, and I'm not sure if you agree with this, Tim, but 3 months or 3.5 months would be a good, like, starting time ahead of everything to really plan for it.
As I was doing it last year, I would say that was cutting it a little bit short.
Yeah, maybe even a little bit short.
You probably need... you kind of need to be thinking about it probably 6 months in advance, because it's going to take some time to put a lot of things together. And you also want your presenters to actually take the time to plan their presentation.
Yeah, that's fair.
If that's too short, you know, so, but 3 months, you can put it together in 3 months.
The only
if you
reason
don't I, have a lot of time.
Yeah. Like, you have to kind of remember too, it's like when sometimes, like, I've signed up to present at things and it's like, I set it up a year in advance. It's like, oh my God, how many know what I'm going to talk about in a year in advance? Because the tool, like the technology, everything is going to be quite different. So there, to me, there's like a little bit of like balance inside of there. And like, so if you're really saying set up and start with everything 6 months in advance, like from the back end, yeah, for sure. But like, yeah, maybe that's a good amount of time. Like the beginning of the semester and doing it at the end of the semester, that makes sense to me. The other thing is this timing. I'm actually also quite happy with our timing, which is to do it at the beginning of the summer, so that everybody can learn and then process that stuff over the summer and then apply it to their actual fall classes, right? Because a lot of times we do PD on our campus, which is great, but it's at the beginning of the semester, right? And like 3 days before classes start. And it's like, well, that's a cool idea, but I've already built out my class for the year or for the semester. And then you might forget about it by the time the next one comes around. So I like the idea of being able to process with this one right at the beginning of the summer and then use it and think about what you're going to actually implement into the next coming school year. Zippy tip. Tim, I got one for you today.
Excellent.
Audiblogs.com, AUDIBLOGS.com. I don't know if you've heard of this. I think it's fairly new, but basically what it is it's a Chrome extension. You can put right into your Chrome browser extension, and any article that you find on the internet, you can click a button and it will convert that article into AI audio reading, right? So like the computer voice reads it, but it's a pretty good computer voice. Like, it sounds pretty natural. They're getting better and better all the time, as you know. And so then what it does is, and then it automatically pushes it forward to your podcatcher. So if you're listening on, you know, Pocket Casts or even Apple or whatever, like you can send it forward so you can subscribe to your chosen articles and listen to them in audio format.
Wow, this is like the opposite of auto transcript.
Yeah. So it's like, it's already written out. Click the button. We're going to turn it into audio. And then and I love that it shows up in your podcatcher and you're just like, okay, now I've got a list of articles that I can listen to on my morning walk, or I know you do an evening walk or different things like that. So audiblogs.com. It's super simple. Just set it up. And I've been pleasantly surprised at how functional it is. AUDIBLOGS.com.
Nice. All right. So we wanted to talk about what we've talked about this year. Mm-hmm. this is our 19th episode this season. And I was surprised. I thought we'd hit 20, but I guess we missed it by one. But it was kind of cool thinking of it as season two. And we didn't do this last year, partially because we were looking at continuing on over the summer and then wound up not. But in looking back, we've actually done a lot of stuff this year in going through through this podcast. Yeah. So since this is the last episode, thought we'd do some highlights. And an interesting note, this is part of what really brought this up, is for me, I found out that Canvas has made a change so that our last episode where we talked about annotation, things that you could do annotation wise, now Canvas just released this past weekend an annotation assignment. So you can now have your students annotate a document as part of an assignment directly in Canvas.
Okay.
So brand new, straight off the presses. You know, I just, and here we were talking about annotation tools and that was not one we were in at all. So
all right.
Well, yes, we can try to be cutting edge there.
Yeah. So just go back in time and imagine that we said it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. exactly.
But yeah, this is pretty good. We have gotten a lot done. I was looking over this list. I'm like, did we talk about that? And you know, my brain has just been, you know, like, oh my God. I think like a lot of us are just like, wow, there's just, you know, you're just trying to get something done and go to the next thing. And so, a lot of these, I do remember, but there's a couple I'm like, wait, when did we talk about that one? So, it'll be fun to do a little, quick review and, for anybody who has joined us and joined the show more recently, maybe there's a couple of these that might be valuable as you look back. Now, we are not going to do a summer. We're taking the summer off. And so you don't have to go rush and listen to these right now. You can pace yourself over the summer and listen to a couple episodes the first and third Thursday of the summer. How about that?
That works. Yes.
All right. So Tim, what stood out to you the most, or let's get started.
We talked several times and it's been interesting looking back at what coming back to school is like. Just that we started off the season with it. And then in the middle of the season here, we've also talked about it. What is that going to be? And, you know, we also know that we're going to be wrong, mm-hmm. but it is interesting to just see what our perspective was at that time. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, there's a lot of conversation around that, that continues to grow and change almost every day. But I think it's always worth kind of revisiting and considering. And, you know, one thing I didn't notice, Tim, I've been thinking about this, is a lot of people are just anxious to go back to the previous way of doing things, which I think is hopefully it's kind of just a temporary, like, hey, just comfort thing. But I am a little nervous that some people are like, well, I just get to go back to the way it was. And it's like, no, hold on. It's not really going to be that no matter what.
I don't expect it to ever be the same. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So I think that'll be a good one to go back to. All right. So we talked about a lot of different things with how to's, any particular items from these conversations stick out to you, Tim? We had home office, podcasting, yes. Captioning programs, esports. What was sticking out
to you? How to set these up in your environment. I mean, we were really looking at if you wanted to do something, hey, learn from our mistakes and learn from what we did right and see what you can do and take it from there. Mm-hmm. Trying to share what knowledge we have. And I think some of those were really fun. The captioning program was something it took us months to build here at IVC. And now, hey, I love to hear that it just goes all over and everybody does it themselves and hey, does better than we do. That'd be great see that. Mm-hmm. Esports as well, you know, with Adam Lopez, we had a number of interviews and that was one of them with him and learning about Discord as well with him. That was a really neat time to just sit down and try something new out literally as we were recording.
Yeah, that's right.
So
we've not been great about keeping up on that on our Discord. But you know, we're living, we're trying things at least we're making efforts. So I'm happy about that. Even though we might not be keeping it up, we learned something quite a bit. And also I do recommend going back and checking out that video that we made for that episode. That's the first time we tried one of those, right? So it's so you can go watch a video on how to actually set up a Discord server. So let's talk a little bit about the interviews, Tim. We had a few interviews. Adam Lopez, as you mentioned, so esports and Discord, and I think he's got such a great energy and so much to share there. I really enjoyed those episodes with him. They were a lot of fun. We also interviewed Allison Dillard, tech and math, and that was a good conversation too, because I feel like I never get, you know, being in my kind of languages and humanities, and I'm kind of in that world over there, I don't get to hear enough about what's going on with cool things with math. And so I did appreciate that. And then your boss, Nick Wilkening.
Yes. And granted, he had been here a year by that time, but it was also brand new, because in that year, all but a couple of weeks of it had been under COVID. Yeah. So while new, while experienced, he also was brand new. And so getting to know him a little bit on this was a great time. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to more with him. He's offered to come back and stuff. So we're going to look at bringing him back as we look for future.
Yeah.
But
people actually really
liked some of the big ones.
Yeah, people liked that episode too. I got quite a few comments separately going, oh wow, I learned a lot from that episode and kind of really understood some things that I didn't think about before. So so that is definitely a valuable episode to go and check out. And we'll have him on fairly regularly. It's a part of the plan for the future, right?
Right. Well, and as we look at interviews, that's what we're looking for. It's not necessarily interviewing somebody specific about a particular application or something, but how can we help broaden everybody's horizons? Mm-hmm. So it was good.
Yeah.
Of course, we talked about lots and lots of tools, though. I mean, that's what we do. Yes, exactly. Almost every episode at least had a segment on either one specific tool, or like last time we talked about annotation tools, and that was a whole bunch of different tools in different ways. Alternatives to Adobe product. Went through that audio transcription, auto transcription. So reverse of what our Zippy Dip was, how do you do auto transcription in your class? And you can do it for free, for instance, with Google Meet.
Right.
So in fact, a neat story. Last week I was on a class and somebody said, oh, my captionist didn't show up. And I said, give me a minute. And I turned on Google Meet, and they got to read everything that I said as I was presenting to the class.
Yeah.
And so, you know, things like that, let's make stuff like that happen. And it's exciting that we can do these types of things for people and with people.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about, I mean, Zoom just, we kind of joked about this. Zoom is updating every third day, right? So, so we did talk a lot about the different Zoom choices and options. We also talked about, like you said, Google Meet and different ways of using different types of platforms. So, and we'll obviously continue sharing new tools, sharing updates to tools that we are all using. I hope that people find those useful, because to me, like you just said, right? The new annotations things comes out on Canvas. It's like, oh, I didn't even know that was there, right? So lots of different things. All right. So so what do we have looking forward to, Tim? What's coming up in season 3? Can you believe it?
Yeah. Well, we've got some interviews coming. They're already scheduled.
Yeah.
So want to put some interviews out with different people from different areas. Some of them may not be as techy. And some of them will probably be like Nick Wilkening. We've already talked about him coming back. He's offered to, and some other people outside of IC. We're trying to arrange some to have a lot more interviews. New tools. I mean, constantly we're going to have new tools. Mm-hmm. That's just part of what we do. So, and we've got a couple of those that we're about to turn on. So, when we do that and coming into the fall, we've got a couple of really cool things that we want to talk about and learn about first, and talk about. And as always, Canvas is doing updates like crazy. We're hoping to see some specific updates over the summer. If so, we'll definitely be letting you know what's going on. But Canvas is coming out. I mean, they're just constantly innovating anyway. Yeah. So we'd like to see some stuff happen there.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Well, I'm imagining that Canvas is going to be working on dropping some stuff during the summer so that people can be prepared for it for the fall. But I'm looking forward to seeing what's coming out too. I even heard rumors that they might be making our Google Course Kit assignments out of beta and into official level
production.
Yeah, who knows?
Nice. Well, and we'll be staying on top of that because we're using that quite a bit here at IVC. So.
Absolutely. So tons of things to look forward to. There's a couple of interviews we've been trying to land for a while, and we finally got one or two of them. So I'm excited about that. But we'll keep the kibosh on it until the new season. Tune in for the exciting changes that are going to happen in season 3 of the Higher Ed Tech Podcast.
Excellent. Thank you for listening today. In this episode, we talked about building a local conference and a year in review. For more information about this show, please visit our website at thehigheredtechpodcast.com. There you will find our podcast and links to the information we've covered.
As always, we do want your feedback, so please go ahead and go to thehigheredtechpodcast.com and let us know your thoughts. If you have ideas for future shows, there's a link on that page where you can give us your topic ideas.
For everyone at IVC that's listening, if you need help with technology questions, please contact IVC Technical Support, 949-451-5696, or by emailing ivctech@ivc.edu. If you have questions about technology in your classroom, please contact me, Tim Van Norman, at tvannorman@ivc.edu.
And if you want to reach out to me about the show, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Brent G. Warner.
I'm Tim Van Norman.
And I'm Brent Warner, and we hope this episode has helped you on the road from possibility to actuality. Take care, everybody. Have a good summer.